Turn in your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going through the great epistle of Paul to the church at Ephesus, the ones that are full of Gentiles. You know, this morning I want to talk to you. This is going to be a two-parter, by the way, maybe even be a three-parter. But it's so important that we grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Boy, this message this morning, I pray that you really get it into your heart and into your mind, that we grieve not the Spirit of God. Remember, the word grieve means to vex or to make sad or to make sorrowful. And it's amazing that we can make the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who loves us, who is alongside of us, that we can make him sad. Amen? And so the verses that we're in this morning are so absolutely vital. We're going to begin in verse 25 in just a moment, but I want to talk to you this morning about the great importance of the things that come out of the new man. We're now a new creation in Christ. The new word, the new way that we speak, our conversation, because, you know, words are powerful. Amen? And so as we look here, the power of speech is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given unto man. So when we look at our verses here, for example, verse 25, verse 26, verse 39, verse 31, and others in chapter 5 have to do with what you say, your conversation, the words that come out of your mouth. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and I want you to ask yourself, Is this a description of how I speak? Is this a description of my conversations? Let me give you the Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous, those that are in right standing with God, the mouth of the righteous, here it is a well of life. Would you call yourself, when you talk to others and the conversation that comes out of your mouth, because you're a new believer or a believer in Christ Jesus, would you say, man, my words are a well of life to other people? How about this one? Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue, a healthy tongue is a tree of life. Every word that you speak to others, to your wife, to your husband, to your friends, at your workplace, at school, wherever it might be, would they call it a tree of life? That every word brings life. How about this one? Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken, meaning spoken at the right time, at the right place. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Apples of gold in settings of silver. Isn't God's word beautiful? Yes. Listen, a word fitly spoken. Emerson said this about words. He said, words are alive. Words are living. You cut a word and you'll see it bleed. Listen, words matter to the believer and to the Holy Spirit of God. So as we begin this morning, remember that all that we've learned now, you know, we no longer live like the Gentiles, meaning lost people. We're brand new creation in Christ. We now have learned from the Lord the truth that is in him. We have taken his yoke. Jesus says, come and take my yoke and learn from me. And his yoke is the lowly heart of Christ. We've now taken that. And also, we have now been, as the Bible we've already learned, is to walk worthy of the calling by which we've been called. Remember, the word worthy is a picture of a set of scales. 5 pounds on this side, 5 pounds on that side. Equal, perfect weight. In other words, equal in doctrine, equal in application. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, doctrine. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are now the application. We hear the word of God. We do the word of God. We've also learned that we have now put off the old man. You're going to have to get me out of my echo, Chris. I'm sorry, brother. And we've also learned that the old man, we've put him off. And the old man, remember, he can only go corrupt. Everything he does goes from a condition worse and worse and worse. Not only that, we've found that we have now been renewed in the spirit of our mind, and we have put on the new man. Thank God for that. By his grace, by his goodness, we put on the new man who is called according to God in true holiness and true righteousness. Therefore, since all of these things that I just said from God's word are true, look at verse 25, talking this morning about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Part 1. Therefore, put away what? lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, and look at the reason, for we are members one of the other. Isn't it amazing that Paul starts off his list with the new man, and he says, put off lying. In other words, put it off once and for all. You would think that you wouldn't have to tell a Christian that has been born from above, don't tell a lie. Amen? But the fact of the matter is that we people lie. Christians lie. Loved one, listen. It's a tragic thing for a person to believe what someone tells them, but they believe it, but it is false what they believe. That is a dangerous, horrible thing. Did you know that the first sin of man is a direct result of believing the very first lie ever told on planet Earth that we know of? And it comes from the wicked one, amen? I mean, that's how the fall happened. The first recorded words, the first recorded speech of the wicked one, the devil, in the garden was a lie. Has God indeed said? The result of believing in the garden, Adam and Eve, the result of believing just one lie, man, all mankind fell. The Bible says in Psalm 116:11, all men are liars. It's amazing. All men are liars. You know, have you ever noticed that you don't have to teach your children? You don't have to teach your children to tell the truth. You have to teach them not to lie. Isn't that right? Yeah. You know, why? They're born that way. We're all born that way. And as we look at this horrible temptation about lying, the thing that happened in the garden, you know, the first lie was told to a woman. The first person deceived on this planet was a woman. Her name is Eve. And you know why? You know why Satan went after Eve? Because Adam was gone. And he wanted to do something. He wanted to get to the federal head. So he used Eve to get to Adam. And by that, what happened? By one man, sin and death entered into the entire world. It says in 1 Timothy 2:14, it says, Adam was not deceived. Remember Adam, he willfully sinned. He went totally against what God said to do. But Eve, it says, she was deceived. She didn't just outright do it on her own. She thought that why would he want to lie to me? What's wrong with being like God to the devil? No, listen, the result of the fall, this is unbelievable, isn't it? Now listen, every person in every generation, every person that has ever been born by what believing that one lie Adam did in Eve, every person has lied. Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that could raise their hand and say, I have never told a lie? No, you can't. Oh, man, listen. You know what? There's not a place on earth where men or women have been that a lie has not been told. How many lies, well, you know what? I've been speaking for about 3 minutes. How many lies around the world do you think have been told in the last 3 minutes? Unbelievable, isn't it? Oh, loved one, listen, I'm telling you what, today we live in a world that is flooded and filled and a deluge of lies. You don't know who to believe. You don't even know who you can trust. That's why, you know, when you read news or you hear news or read the newspaper, you know, I mean, you have to, they have what's called what, fact check, remember? Y'all ever use that? Is that really true? Or Snopes or whatever you call that, Snopes, I don't know what it's called, S-N-O-P-E-S. I've never been there, but I see it on the news sometimes that you know check this to see if it's true. It's amazing. Even Channel 8 here in Fort Worth, I think it's Channel 8, they have what's called verify. Is this true or not true? We live in a world that is so consumed with lies that we don't even know what the truth is. We have a whole new word. I guess Trump did it. I don't know, coined it. It's fake news, you know. I kind of sounded like him when I said that, didn't I? You know? Fake news is tremendous. Let me tell you, it's tremendous. It's tremendous. You know how he talks. Sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'm not speaking evil of the White House. No, listen. And then you have people that lie to themselves. You have habitual liars. Have you ever met a sociopath, an habitual liar? One that they don't even have to lie, but they just lie. over and over. It's unbelievable. And they're so convincing that you believe they're telling the truth. You have lies in the White House. You have lies in God's house. And that should never, ever be. Amen? It says to put away lying. What was the first sin that God judged in the early church? Oh, come on, guys. You're lying. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 and following. Amen? Ananias and Sapphira, they came in. Ananias came in first. He sold his property, laid the money at the disciples' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie unto the Holy Spirit? Did you not, you didn't have to give this money. You didn't even have to give a penny of it. What's your problem? And then he fell dead, remember? A little later, about 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came in. Peter asked her, did you guys sell the money for this much, or the land? Oh, yeah, we sure did. What happened to her? She fell dead. Like I told the early service, and they played Stand By My Man at her funeral. No, never mind. No, listen, lying is something. What do you think God, because see, lying grieves the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Amen? What do you think God the Father thinks about lies? He hates them. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:16, it says, yea, six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are even an abomination unto him. God hates something. What is it? Well, we could go through the whole list, of course, but let me just take two of them. A lying tongue, a false witness who speaks lies. God hates lying. Listen, the Holy Spirit hates lying. You know, John the Apostle, he writes in 1 John 1:16, it says, if any Christian or any person, words that come out of our mouth, because see, words matter. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, koinonia, if we have intimacy, an ongoing love one for another, a deep intimacy, he says, and if we walk in darkness, a continual habitual lifestyle, he says, we lie. He says, we are a liar. We don't practice the truth. John the Apostle writes later, 1 John 2:22, I love this one, who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus Christ, or Jesus is the Christ, meaning 100% man, 100% God, his deity, his humanity. He says he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So that puts the whole world in the wrong, doesn't it? Now, how about 1 John 4:20? The speech, the words. If someone opens their mouth and words come out of their mouth and say this, well, I love God, but you hate your brother. You listen to what God says. He is a liar. For how can you love his brother whom you have seen, and how can you love God whom you have not seen? If you go through the Bible and study out lying, you want to stay away from it. Amen? It grieves the Spirit of God. Revelation 21:8 says that all liars, they end up in the lake of fire, meaning hell. And it's the second death, loved one. They're going to be there with the wicked one, the father of all lies, which is the devil. So lying is something we want to stay away from. It says in John 8:44, Jesus talking about Satan, as he was speaking to the Jews, he said this. He says, Satan, he was a murderer from the very beginning, meaning in the garden. He caused spiritual death and even eternal death. He's the author of every graveyard. He is the one who Jesus stripped, who had the power over death. He said, oh, he was a murderer from the beginning. And he says, Satan, he doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in the wicked one. No truth. There's not just a smidgen of truth in him. His whole entire diet is sin. He is the man of sin. He loves sin and lawlessness. He says, there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, listen carefully, he speaks from his own resources. In other words, that is his native language. For he is a liar, Jesus says, and the father of it, of every lie, of every falsehood, of every false religion. We don't want anything to do with him. Amen. He is the defeated one, and we want to keep him that way. Amen. Now, Jesus told us about lying or the words that come out of our mouth. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, let your yes be yes, your no be no, for whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Whatever you do, don't take refuge in a lie. It's a dangerous place. You can't do that. You will grieve the Spirit, because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Amen? He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our strengthener, our standby. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't make him sad. And lying makes him sad. It says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. So it says, therefore, put away lying. Let every Christian, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. Truth with his neighbor. What does it say in Ephesians 4:16? Speaking the truth in love. That's the language that we speak. Is that we speak God's truth. We speak truth, period, in love. And the reason? Watch this. For we are members one of another. You see, we are the body of Christ. We're the family of God. One body, members individually. We need to love one another, guys. We don't need to be lying one to another. And the reason? The characteristics of the wicked one, the devil, they have, those characteristics have no place in the body of Christ. Not at all. See, lying, which is from the wicked one, can it ruin, one lie can ruin a man or woman's reputation in 30 minutes, can it? Think about that. One lie. Why is it that a lie spreads so much faster than a truth? You know, think about that. One lie believed can stop a person from receiving Christ Jesus as their Lord. Satan, that's all he does, is he blinds the minds of those who do not believe. He's a deceiver. He is a liar. He appears as an angel of light. He makes darkness look wonderful. He makes darkness look like light. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, which only leads unto death. Man, we have to be so careful about that. And he says, we're members one of another, and then look at this next one. I want to make sure we really understand verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Interesting. Now watch this. Be angry and do not sin. Can you even be angry and not sin? Absolutely. Yes, you can. Is it possible to be angry and not sin? Absolutely. See, be angry is in the imperative in the Greek language. It's a positive command. It's not a negative command, okay? So when we say be angry, this is not the old man's anger, which is vile. This is the new man's anger, meaning it's a righteous anger. An anger, in other words, we hate what God hates. Amen? Okay, thank you. All right, we hate what God's hate. See, whenever you see the wickedness, like I told the early service, I don't know how you feel about it, but when I see what's going on in this world, it makes me angry with a righteous anger. When I see children starving to death in a nation that could really provide food for them, but lets them starve to death, does that make you angry? Well, it makes God angry. And it makes me angry. It makes the Holy Spirit angry. But it's not an unholy anger. It is a holy anger. Whenever Jesus went into the temple, man, in John's gospel, and he got the whips and he drove out the money changers and overturned the table, little Jesus, meek and mild. Was that a human anger? No. He said, this is my house. This is God's house. And you've made it a den of robbers, a den of thieves. No, that is a righteous, holy anger. Whenever I see the issues that we're facing in this world, in this land that we live, in this country that we call America, and I see the vile, wicked of man, right this minute, there are places in Fort Worth we could go to right now, and you would see little girls, 10, 12, being sold in sex trafficking. Why don't we protest over that? Why aren't we marching over that? Amen? No, listen, There's so much wickedness in this world, that righteous anger. It grieves me with all of my heart, and it should every believer, that we have witnessed our world an overnight turn upside down. The America that we once knew. And whenever you can have a group of men and a group of women who have the audacity to challenge the word of God that he has exalted above his very name and redefine the oldest institution in the world, marriage, does that not make you angry? A righteous anger, not where you want to hurt anybody, but inside. This is the kind of anger that we are talking about. I told the early service when I saw what was happening to our police department yesterday downtown Fort Worth, when I saw the men and women stand stoic, stand there and take abuse, verbal, filthy, profanity, I started crying. I couldn't have kept my composure. Had that been me, I would have gotten in the flesh. It was so heartbreaking to see, to hear. I believe in equality, but I don't believe in destroying a person, speaking vile things to a person, no matter what color they are. Do you understand? Oh, that's ungodly, man. And I said, there's an anger, it hurts me. So, yes, we should be angry, but then it says, but. It says, don't let, look at it now. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, or do not sin. In other words, don't cross that line. It has to be a controlled, righteous anger, a righteous, controlled, holy anger, if you will. So we don't let that wrath, and that's another word there, that means a simmering, brooding anger inside that's so heated that you're ready to strike someone. Now, that kind of wrath we don't want. It says don't go to bed with that stuff. You know what I mean? Don't let that even come near you at all. That anger is forbidden. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. There's something about anger that the church, I think, they have forgotten. Remember what Jesus said there on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus said, you know, you've heard that it was said of to those of old. In other words, the scribes and the Pharisees and the rabbis, they had taught something long ago, a tradition. So Jesus said, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. But Jesus said, whoever murders will be in the danger of the judgment. So the scribes and the Pharisees, they made murder something different than what God made it or said it was. In other words, they said, all murder is nothing but a physical act. It's just an external thing and so forth. But Jesus said, oh, no, no. Those of old, well, they taught you that. They were totally wrong. Murder is much deeper than that, Jesus said. Listen to what he said. But I say to you that whoever is angry, there it is, that brooding, simmering anger that is kept alive, never allowed to die, like when Cain killed Abel. He said, I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Without a cause is not in the best Greek manuscripts, by the way. Jesus said, you're going to be in danger of the judgment. So what did Jesus say about murder, to murder another person? Jesus said, you know what? You guys are, you don't understand, he said. Murder doesn't begin, like if we brought it up to the 21st century. Murder doesn't begin when you go to a gun shop and you purchase a weapon, a gun. Murder doesn't begin when you buy the ammunition. Murder doesn't begin when you put the ammunition in the weapon. That's not when it begins at all. No, Jesus said it doesn't even begin when you pull the trigger. Jesus said, no, murder originates someplace else. Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders. Think about that. A Christian, I know that we can get angry, but don't have that kind of anger. Amen? You know, because Jesus just said that we're no better than a serial killer. We're just as guilty as a serial killer because murder is in the heart. Matter of fact, John said in 1 John 3:15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So then he says something. He goes through all of this and he says, nor give place to the devil. There's the warning about that anger which is sin, that anger which is forbidding. He who was a murderer from the beginning, the devil, when you walk in that type of anger, here's what you do. It says, give no, what is it? No place to the devil. The word place in Greek is topos. It means don't open the door. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't you dare do those things at all. No. If you do, this is what happens. Now listen, if you don't get right about that, you are now giving the devil permission to come into your space. And that's all he wants. He just wants a tiny little foothold. And let me ask you a question. Do you think that that grieves the Spirit of God? You can talk to me. Yes, that grieves the Spirit of God. Boy, anger is is so strong, it's so powerful. Did you know that you can use hate and you can use anger to motivate your life to do things? In other words, if you have a past where you were abused or you were taken advantage of or you lived on the streets or you went without food and you didn't have good parents at all, you can take that kind of hatred. You don't want it to be hatred, but it's there. And you can take that type of anger and you can say, I will not. I will rise above this. I'm going to make a million or I'm going to do this or that. Do you understand what I'm getting at? That's what the old man would do, but the new man, he doesn't do that because we know that vengeance belongs to the Lord. He's going to take care of it. He's going to do it much better than we are. So anger, those things, lying, they grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now look at verse 28. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. In other words, the needy. So Paul the apostle, he says, don't break the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. What does stealing really mean? Stealing means to take something from someone else without any effort. In other words, you didn't work for it, and take it away from him. In other words, it's to be a thief. John 12:6 says that Judas was a thief. He sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The Bible says that the devil is a thief. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly, but the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Do you find it amazing that in God's holy word, loved one, that he has to tell us, not a believer, a born-again believer, don't you steal. Does that blow you away in a way? Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Don't steal from anyone. But you know what? That Christians steal all the time. You know, years ago, when we used to take up the offering, you know, it wasn't even placed behind a locked door. It was always put in the same place. Everybody knew where the offering was put, you know, except me. But there was someone who ventured out after the service every time and was constantly in the room where the offering was placed. You know what that person was doing? He, she, I'm not going to say who it was stealing money out of the offering. I mean, I'm going, hello? You know what we had to do? We had to buy a safe. Now everything goes in the safe. No one knows the code. Somebody does, but not me. You know, listen. You would never suspect that. You know, God in his word, look at it. He says, don't steal anything. Just work with your hands, okay? Go to work. Do what is good. Give something to him who has a need. In other words, remember the lucky 100 that I carry, you know, to help other people when the Lord prompts that? So God lifts working to a brand new level. He says, no, let's provide for your family. But lay something aside for the poor, those that have a need. What did Paul the apostle, when he was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he quotes Jesus, even though what he quotes is not found in the Gospels, but we know it is from the Lord. Paul says, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen? So that's what he says there. Now look at verse 29, talking about not grieving the Spirit of God who lives in us. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your what? Your mouth. In other words, again, we're talking about what we say. We're talking about our speech. Now listen, the new man's speech, we don't talk like the old man anymore. We have been transformed. The entire old man, have we been crucified with Christ? Okay, was it the entire old man that was crucified with Christ? Okay, so that means the tongue got crucified too. Is that right? Okay, now listen to me. When we think, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay, when we think, okay, that's bad stuff and all that. I want you to listen to me now. There are many things besides corrupt communication that grieves the Spirit of God. Amen? But communication can grieve the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Now, let me give you an example. If you say even in your mind, or you're praying, or whatever it might be, or you're grieving, going, "Oh God, do you really love me?" Do you think that would grieve the Holy Spirit? You know why it would grieve him? He would go, "What? Jesus, the Son of God, he took your place. He took your death. He took your sin. He sent it as far as the east is from the west." Amen? How can you say that he doesn't love you? Or if you say, "The Lord is never going to provide my needs. He's never going to help me." Do you think that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Yes, and that's why so many Christians, they go, "Why? Where's my joy? Where's my assurance? Where's my peace?" Well, it's because you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, we should, listen, the Word of God is true. Every man is a liar, but the Word of God is true. When we are faithless, he remains faithful, amen? He'll never let you down. He'll never, ever leave you, forsake you. See, we have to train ourselves in our communication where we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So we can say things, and you hear it all the time, like I just said, I wonder if the Lord really loves me. People say that all the time, and I always have to say, stop that. His love never changes. His love is unconditional. His love never goes up. It never goes down. Amen? So when it says here, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, that's because we're the new creation in Christ now. Our old man, old Bill, he's been crucified. He's dead, and we reckon him dead. But listen, a corrupt word means a filthy word. It means rancid words. That's what that word means. It means worthless words, or the best one is rotten. That word corrupt means it's rotten. In other words, a mouth that is filled with a rotten words that come out of their mouth. See, the mouth and the heart, they're connected. Amen? That's right. Because Jesus said in Luke 6:45, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in a man's heart, and it comes out of his mouth, it reveals who he is and what he is actually thinking as well. God says in his word, when he was talking about how all mankind was in sin and the condition of mankind in Romans chapter 3, verse 13, listen to what God says. He says, oh, their throat is an open tomb. What a way to describe a person's mouth. When you open, in other words, like we could put it in our talk, man, when you open your mouth, it's just full of rotten decay. It stinks. It's like a graveyard. He says, watch this one now. He says, with their tongues, all about the mouth, what comes out of our mouth. He says, with their tongues, they do something. They practice deceit. In other words, that ongoing, habitual lifestyle of deceit. And not only that, the poison of asp is under their lips. What a condition. Everything they do and say is only to destroy other people. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Simply turn on the TV and you find that. Amen? You can stop at a stop sign and some of the cars that pull up beside you, the music that's playing, it is vile. Do you understand? It is unbelievably filthy. See, we live in a world, then, now, we live in a world, they are an expert when it comes to corrupt, profane speech. They're experts at taking God's name and degrading it, or taking God's name in vain. Some of you probably never heard of the movie Gone with the Wind, right? Oh, good. There's three of you. You remember that was a 38? Oh, sorry. Woo, man. Remember, it was Clark Gable, Rhett Butler, Scarlett O'Hara. Scarlett, remember? He came at the very end of the movie. He comes down, he turns to her, and he says, "Frankly, my dear, I don't, you know the rest of it. One cuss word, one. Do you know what they went through to get that one word in there? It was the censorship. But they got it in there. And the whole world, when that happened, everybody's mouth fell open. Of course, I wasn't born in 39, so it doesn't matter, but I know it did. Are you following me? The reason I said that, we have come a long way since Gone with the Wind. The profanity, the corrupt communication, loved one, it is everywhere. Listen, God made your mouth. He made man's mouth. Oh, loved one, listen, to be an instrument of blessing to other people. Look at it again in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication or word proceed out of your mouth. Here it comes. But what is a blessing or good for necessary to edification, words that build other people up and so forth, and look at here, and to impart benefit, watch this, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We have a brand new kind of speech, and our dialect is different from every person on earth. We speak now with the dialect of grace. And our words that proceed out of our mouth, they should not be corrupt, but they should build up other people, amen, and never tear other people down. Colossians 4:6 tells it this way, let your speech, in other words, let your everyday conversation, whoever you're talking with, let your speech always be with grace. That's how we're to talk. And then he says, add a little season to it. Seasoned with salt. Why? That you may know how you ought to answer each one. Loved one, listen, that is our dialect. That is our language. Everything that we talk and say that comes out of our mouth, it should be grace. Amen? And we add salt, not to sting others, not to hurt others. In other words, but when we talk about God, it should make them desire God as much as we do. Amen? Good. Listen, I haven't had people here in a long time. I need to hear something. Because I have been since March 13th, man. That's a long time to preach to an empty room. So when I hear your voices, it makes me feel good. I'll get over it. Just keep, another couple of services. I'll be back to normal, Now, so with all that being said, how we talk. Make this your prayer. I try as well to make it my prayer from David. Listen to what he said in Psalm 19:14. He says, let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. That's what I want. That's what you want. Amen? Now, how important are the words that come out of your mouth. They're so important, loved one. Listen to what Jesus told us about that. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, I say to you that every idle word men may speak. Idle words. Words that are inoperative. Words that are useless. Words that don't produce grace or produce life or to build up and edify. That's an idle word. Jesus said, I say to you, every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of on the day of judgment. For by your words you're justified. By your words you will be condemned. That's amazing that we are going to give an account of our words. Now, not our sins. Come on. Our sins have been paid for. We're going to the Bema seat of Christ, the place of rewards. We're not going to the great white throne judgment. Amen? But you and I, we have an accountability, a stewardship before God. God says, I want you to speak, and when you do, I want to hear grace. I want to hear you speak the truth in love. Season it with salt. Give it some taste. Don't be cold and dry. He says, but listen, you're going to be held accountable because I said it. That's how important the words that come out of our mouth are. When you think of the power of speech, it says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can receive Christ, you can reject Christ. Think about that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, those who love to talk, what it says here, will eat its fruit. Now that means you can be good fruit or it can be bad fruit, loved one. So that's the power of speech. Then you have in the Word of God, you'll find the perversion of words or the perversion of speech. You know, you the false teachers, it says how they twist God's word. That word in Greek, twist, and from Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, first, it doesn't matter, it's in Peter. The word twist is plastos in the Greek. It means it's like plastic. People who twist, pervert the word of God to say things it doesn't mean. Do you understand? Boy, that's how you pervert the word of God. To pervert the word of God, that perversion of speech, is also to deny the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And God says, they are corrupt. Now drop down there in Ephesians. I want you to look at verse 31 quickly. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, here it comes, evil speaking, get it away from you. Put it away from you. Go down to chapter 5 and look at verse 4 again. It says also, foolish talking. Coarse jesting, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Why? This grieves the Holy Spirit. Our words matter, loved one, more than you can ever imagine. Now listen to me. We are more likely to grieve, to make sad, to vex the Holy Spirit of God with our mouth than any other thing. See, we think it's going to be, oh, that grieved, oh, no, yeah, it may, that's true, a big sin, or whatever you want to call it, big sin, or what, all sin's sin. But man, if you ever think that what you say, that that's where the whole area is, and that grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything, and you know why? It's because you have living in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to really talk about the Holy Spirit next Sunday, if the Lord willing. We may be gone. We could be in heaven by then. You know? No, listen. You have living in you the Holy Spirit. Amen? You have living in you the one who has never lied. Never. You have the one who is in you who has spoken only perfect, eternal truth that will never, ever fade away. It endureth forever. Amen? Now, do you see how that what we say, since we belong, we're a purchased possession, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and here we go talking trash, you know, saying, God, you're not going to help me, and maybe you don't love me. No, 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 no. Love one, that grieves the Holy Spirit. So with all that being said, let's quickly, we have just a few minutes left, but turning your Bibles with me to chapter 3 of James, chapter 3, verse 1 of James. He says, my brethren, James chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now watch what he says, for we all stumble in many things. Now that means in regard to our speech, our conversation, the tongue. We all stumble in many things, but if anyone does not stumble in word, the speech that comes out of your mouth, the words that come out of your mouth, look what he says. He's a perfect man. He's a, meaning not perfect like sinless, but mature. You're a mature person. And he's able, to, watch this now, to bridle his entire body. So the new man, yes, we're renewed in the spirit of our minds, but also our tongue has been transformed if we're the new man as well. Now listen to me, loved one. You know what? If you don't master your mouth will master you. And you've got to be very careful because it'll hurt you. It'll get you in trouble. It says in Proverbs 6:2, you're snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. Look at James 3:3 now. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and look at the reason, that they obey us. And we turn their whole body. Isn't it amazing? You know, I grew up on the farm with my grandparents. When I was a little boy, before I ever started first grade, I would ride horses bareback. You know what I mean? We didn't care. I mean, I was wild. I thought I was Roy Rogers. You know what I'm saying? And you know how you make the rope bridle, remember? One of you. No. You know, and then, but you also, you had to get it, you know, put it in. Well, where did you put it? You put the this piece over the horse's tongue, remember? You could take that horse with a rope bridle, you know, you could pull that horse any way you wanted to. He's gigantic, stronger than me. I was just a little 5 years old, man. Had my little hat, you know, had my little cowboy vest and those guns on. I was telling you. So he says in verse 4, look at it. Well, look at the ships. Oh, man, they are so large. They're driven by fierce winds or storms or whatever. But they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. That little tiny rudder, it takes the ship and the pilot, the captain turns it. I mean, it's not a big old ship, and it takes it wherever it obeys the captain. And here's the deal. What is James saying? Our tongue can get us into trouble. It'll guide us into storms, or it'll guide us into places of peace. Amen? In other words, your tongue is like a rudder, a small rudder. Man, meaning the words that come out of your mouth, they matter. How many of you have said this? I wish I had never said that. Are we all guilty? Yes. See, the tongue, boy, can get you in so much trouble. Even so, the tongue is a little tiny member and boasts great things. And how great a forest a little fire kindles. That's a true word. The tongue. It is so small, right there between the lips, right there between our teeth. It's a small, tiny member of our body. And it's the only part of our body that brags. Think about it. It boasts great things. Man. I mean, it blows me away. And the tongue, oh, it's a fire. It's a world, not a city, not a county. It is a world of evil, a world of iniquity, a world of filth. And the tongue is so set among our members, and look what it does. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. That's speaking of a person's life from birth until they die. Their mouth keeps them in trouble. They're always in trouble. That's what that means. And is set on fire by hell. Look what ignites the tongue. Isn't that amazing? The fires of hell. Do you know the fires of hell are never quenched? They never go out. They're forever. They're never dying flames. So what is James teaching us about what comes out of our mouth? We're talking about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever a believer, and this happens, and I hate it that it happens, but whenever a believer lies, or they start joining in on gossip, or they spread discord, they spread division, or they start accusing their brother and sister, speaking evil of them, then something happens. When that occurs, they are now, instead of walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, they are now walking in agreement with the wicked one. Why? He is the accuser of the brethren. Amen? Oh, you see how dangerous that is? See, the speaker takes on the character of the devil. See, words do something. Words reveal our maturity. Words reveal our heart. And words can defile our entire body. Matthew, Jesus said, Matthew 15:11, it's not what goes into the mouth. You know, we're eating a pork chop or something. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It is what comes out of the mouth that defiles or a man, makes him unclean or makes them filthy. He says, for out of the mouth proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts. And here it is, false witnesses. They're from the heart, loved one. James says, oh, listen, for every kind of beast and bird, reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. That's a true word, isn't it? You know, you ever watch those shows on TV and you got your dogs jumping through the hoop or you got the parrot that can talk, you know? Remember Flipper? Shamu, I don't even know if he's there anymore. I think Shamu's been set free or something. I don't know. Thank God. I mean, you can even train fleas, loved one. You've heard of a flea circus? No, study that out. I could tell you a story, but I don't have time. No, but look at this. You can train all things in the seas and people, whatever, but no man, no human being can tame the tongue. But let me add to Scripture, which is justified here, but the Holy Spirit can. Amen, because we're the new man. The tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Words, they can grieve the Holy Spirit, man. You know, listen, let our language, let our speech be the new man, filled with love, filled with peace, filled to build people up, filled with grace. And look what else the tongue does. It says, with our tongues, look what we do. With it, we bless our God and our Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, now he's talking to Christians. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Ought not to be means this is not normal. This is abnormal. He says this is contrary to the grace of God. He says, if you profess to love your brother and man, you're cursing them who are made in the image of God. You know what it is? God says, listen, that's an offense against me. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Does a spring send forth fresh water bitter from the same opening? Of course, no. Can a fig tree, my brethren, talking to believers again, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Of course not. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Very good word, James. Very good word. Our words reveal who we really are. Our words reveal that spiritual maturity can actually be measured by what comes out of our mouth. I want to give you this scripture. I want you to really think about it from Peter. He says in 1 Peter 3:10, he writes this. He says, for he who would love life, do you love life? Amen. He who would love life and see good days. How many people want good days? I mean, we've been going through some tough days, haven't we? He says, he who would love life and see good days, here it is, let him, he has to make a decision, he has to make a choice, let him refrain his tongue, his speech, his language, the words that come out of his mouth, refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Isn't that amazing? God says, you know, you got a choice in this life. You can endure life. You can try to escape life. Or you can actually love life. You know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. The word of God is living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierces all the way down to the marrow. Analyzes our heart. The discerner of all things that we do. Yeah, loved one, listen to me. Listen. If you want to have not a long life, that's not what it's talking about in 1 Peter 3:10. No, it all starts with what comes out of your mouth. That's the key. The words that you say, the words that you say to your wife, the words you say to your friends, the words you say to your husband, the words that say to your children, words are sharper than swords. Words can hurt. Amen? Come on. You're stupid, don't you? How stupid, you know what I mean? That hurts. I don't love you anymore. That hurts. I'm leaving you. That hurts. Words are powerful. And words, Jesus is the word. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Check out your language. Check out what's coming out of your mouth. Proverbs, I'm closing, but listen to this. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. Psalm 141:3, set a guard, David says, oh Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I love that. Lord, please help me. Direct my words. Isn't that a great word? Isn't that a great thing to pray? Oh, listen. Let's close. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve. Do not vex the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Listen, Next week, we're going to really learn more about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a language. He's not a force. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Romans 15:30, the Spirit loves you. Amen? Not only that, you can't grieve is a love word. You cannot grieve someone who doesn't love you. See, He loves us. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You have the greatest prayer helper in the world. You have the one who is always going to be with you. He's the one who has sealed you. The seal is the Holy Spirit. Now listen, and He's going to take you all the way home. You are sealed until the very day of redemption, the day that we walk into heaven, the day that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. The day that we close our eyes and we wake up and there is Jesus. Amen. Listen. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And did you know something? I know it's time to go, but listen to me. Do you, those that are listening live, listen. All over the world, all the places that you, I thank you for listening, but you could be in your home right now, maybe in your car, you could be on your patio. I don't know where you are, but I know you're listening. You have, if you don't know Christ, if Jesus is not your Lord, did you know that you have a miracle in your mouth? You have a miracle right now in your mouth. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And if you believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Pray that prayer right now. Pray it. Just pray, say, Jesus be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this day. I thank you for all those who are present. I thank you for the word of God, O Lord, the joy that it brings to us. I thank you, Lord, that we in no way want to grieve the Spirit of God, but we want our language to be filled with love and grace and edification to others, seasoned with the salt of God. Lord, thank you. Thank you for these people that are brave, that are here today. And Father, I pray over them right now that no perilous pestilence will come nigh their dwelling, nowhere near them, and that no plague can even approach their dwelling. And with long life, you'll satisfy each and every one of them. We love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And this church says, amen. God.